Hello and welcome. You're watching Left, Right and Center. I'm Sanket Upadhyay. This special 60-minute edition, we are going to juxtapose or attempt to juxtapose two images of India right now. One, that of political rallies despite the rising number of COVID cases. And then the images from hospitals across the country where the crisis is real. Is the politics in this country completely divorced from the reality? You must have heard the Prime Minister say, dawai nahi, dhilai nahi. So on the show, our story number one, the Prime Minister says, jab tak dawai nahi, tab tak dhilai nahi. But these rules, elections par apply nahi. That when the electioneering process will kick in, then none of these advices or requests or rules or protocols will exist. Because on the ground, it doesn't take a Sherlock Holmes to see that nothing of this is being followed. Also on the show, we get you a nationwide report of vaccines, whether the vaccine shortage that once existed about a few days ago has improved, gotten worse, or is it just as bad as it was a few days ago? The vaccine shortage reality check in just a short moment. But first, let's begin by trying to tell you what exactly is the scene of COVID-19 cases, by how much have they increased, and what has been their impact in these poll-bound states. Let's take a look at this report.
Halfway through the elections in West Bengal, only two things steadily rising: COVID cases and election rallies. More than 30,000 cases in 2 weeks, 400 times more than it was 2 weeks ago. Yet, today Prime Minister held three rallies in the state instead of his usual two. Home Minister Amit Shah had four engagements and Mamata Banerjee had three rallies today. She has four tomorrow. Amid this poll fervor lies the grim reality. Reports of hospitals out of beds in Kolkata, stocks of vital medicines depleting and vaccines in short supply.
There isn't a single COVID assigned bed available in the city. We are ramping down vaccination and the politicians are on a rampage.
A PIL has urged Calcutta High Court to ask the Election Commission to club the remaining four phases of polls, perhaps into two. That will mean half the number of rallies, half the number of roadshows, and perhaps also half the number of potential victims of the virus. The court will hear the case tomorrow.
In Assam, from being among the states with the lowest COVID cases earlier this year to a 331% increase in daily cases over the last 14 days, even as the three-phase polling and campaigns came to an end, the state is seeing the COVID spike even as it prepares to celebrate its biggest festival, Bihu, from 14th April. Ahead of Bihu, the aim to ramp up testing to 1 lakh per day from the 70,000 currently.
While a better COVID management has been a poll plank for the BJP in the Assam elections, but now that the elections are over, Assam is witnessing a COVID surge. And therefore, the state government has ramped up testing not only at the airports, but also at the railway stations, because of late, the new cases that have been reported in Assam mostly are among people who have travelled back to the states either by air or by train from affected states.
We have always seen that whenever there is a surge, increase in numbers of COVID positive in other state, Assam, we do see a fallout in Assam with some lag.
In Tamil Nadu, partial restrictions have kicked in as the state has seen 173% increase in daily COVID cases in the last 14 days. The one super spreader, Coimbatore market, will now be open only for wholesale buyers, not everyday customers. Beaches in three districts, including Chennai, are closed over the weekends and public holidays. And 50% seating capacity at cinema theatres now being strictly enforced, to worship places being open to only 10 p.m.
என் பேர் சுப்பிரமணியனுங்க. நான் வந்து மார்க்கெட் சந்தையிலேருந்து வியாபாரம் பண்ணிருக்கிறோம். லாக்டவுனுக்கு முன்னாடி ஓரளவுக்கு நல்ல வியாபாரம் ஆயிருந்தது. இப்போ வந்து வியாபாரம் இப்போ வந்து ரொம்ப குறைஞ்சி போச்சு. மக்கள் ரொம்ப கஷ்டப்படுறாங்க, நாங்களும் கஷ்டப்படுறோம். இப்போ வந்து சிறு வியாபாரிகளுக்கெல்லாம் கடை இது பண்ணுறேன்றாங்க.
In Kerala, COVID cases have seen an 84% increase in the last 14 days. Chief Minister Pinrai Vijayan and former Chief Minister Uman Chandy among the election campaigners who have tested positive for COVID-19. These are the special camps that have been started at ward levels across Kerala, even as the numbers have only been increasing once the campaigns have ended. That, of course, has violated all COVID norms.
In the election day special drive, I think we have to do special item.
ഇപ്പോ ഈ ഇലക്ഷൻ കഴിഞ്ഞതിന് ശേഷം കുറച്ച് വർധനമുണ്ടാകുന്നത് നമ്മളിപ്പോ ശ്രമിക്കുന്നത് ഗ്രാസ്റൂട്ട് ലെവലിലേക്ക് താഴെ തലത്തിലേക്ക് ഇതിന്റെ പ്രവർത്തനം വ്യാപിപ്പിക്കാൻ തീരുമാനിച്ചത്. അപ്പോ താഴെ തലത്തിൽ വാർഡ് തലത്തിലുള്ള കോവിഡ് പ്രതിരോധ സമിതി കൃത്യമായി ചേർന്ന് ആ വാർഡിലെ എല്ലാ വീടുകളെയും പരിശോധിച്ച്.
The Prime Minister's advice to all states last week as cases surged. All leaders, though, forgetting their own advice when it comes to their profession, politics. Bureau Report, NDTV.
So when it comes to them, their own profession, politics, it seems these rules don't apply. Because the result is there for everyone to see. In each of these election states, you have seen a sharp increase in COVID-19 cases. Now, let's quickly take a look at this presentation right now on your screen, where we'll give you the exact numbers. So in West Bengal, the cases have doubled in all polling states. But in West Bengal, in the last 14 days, the percentage change has been 378%. Just in the last 14 days, 378% increase. Let's talk about Assam. In Assam, the percentage change is 331%. And here you had the health minister of the state saying that there is no COVID in Assam. I will tell people when they're supposed to wear the mask. 331%. And these figures are continuously rising. In Puducherry, 175%. In Tamil Nadu, 173%. And in Kerala, 84%. So that's the situation as far as poll-bound states are concerned. And this is largely to do with these political congregations. Or also, they can be called super-spreader events. And it's still not over in the state of West Bengal. I would like to welcome all our guests this evening. We've got Suparna Moitra, spokesperson of the Trinamool Congress. Dr. Heman P. Thakur, a consulting physician and cardiometabolic specialist associated with Jaslok Breach Candy, Mumbai. Thank you very much, Dr. Thakur. Sabha Naqvi, author and senior journalist, is also with us. Smita Prakash, editor of the ANI, is also with us. And in just a short moment, we'll have Ms. Lalita Kumaramangalam, member of the India Foundation and member of the Bharatiya Janata Party. Let me first begin with you, Suparna. See, the thing is, right now, it may sound convenient that, you know, the Prime Minister gave this call, dawai nahi, dhilai nahi, right? Then we've added this bit, elections par apply nahi. But the point is, in the state of West Bengal, you know, there seems to be an alternate reality. One of fervor in election rallies, including Mamata Banerjee's. And then the overwhelming crowd in hospitals where there are reports coming in from West Bengal of bed shortage, of vaccine shortage, of oxygen cylinder shortage. And all of this is happening in the middle of elections. Who would you blame for this situation?
Mr. Upadhyay, good evening. Good evening to the fellow panelists. Now, this is such a serious discussion. This is not about BJP, TMC, or the Congress. Now, let me put the facts on the table. Chief Minister Mamata Banerjee had written way back to the Election Commission suggesting that why the election, this eight-phase election could be brought down to maybe a two-phase or a three-phase election so that possibly there is no possibility of a spike in cases if when the second wave comes as far as COVID is concerned. But she always ran the risk because when she suggested that, there were opponents who said that the law and order situation in Bengal is not conducive to get over with the elections in a two or a three phase, and it necessitates a staggered election for maybe an eight phase. So possibly we couldn't have done much about that. That's point number one. Point number two, with regard to the election rallies, I think all of us are equally responsible. All of us are equally responsible. But could we have done without that election rally is a serious question that all of us will have to introspect and come out with a solution.
Will you give me the answer?
Why don't you give me the answer?
Could you not have... If other functions and most functions have now shifted online, why couldn't election campaigning also go online? I know it's easier said than done, but why not?
I will tell you. The difficulty could be that culturally and also infrastructure-wise, it may not be exactly conducive to graduate to that level at this current juncture. Maybe at a later date, we are moving in that direction.
But Mr. Moitra, who takes the blame for this situation in election rallies? The TMC can't say a thing to the BJP. The BJP can't say a thing to the TMC. You're all equally guilty. I have Ms. Kumaramangalam also with me.
We have to admit we are all equally guilty.
Absolutely. And it's very nice of you to have finally admitted this. Ms. Kumaramangalam is also with us, member of the BJP. Lalita ji, my question to you is that in 2014, we clearly remember that the Prime Minister, while he was campaigning for the 2014 Lok Sabha polls, introduced a brand new concept, which was online election rally for the first time. Not many people had seen that. And we're talking about 3D holograms, right? This technology was introduced in elections back then. Could it not have been put to use in a situation like this? This would not have been a gimmick. It would have been the need of the hour. And thus also reducing the number of people who are gathering or congregating.
Yeah, Sanket, I wasn't able to hear you fully, but I think I've got the gist of what you were asking. I agree with Mr. Moitra, who was saying that unfortunately election rallies have become rather unavoidable today, regardless of whichever party may be doing them, and regardless of whether it's in Bengal or in Tamil Nadu, these election rallies, even according to me, could be super spreaders in this day of COVID. And you're also right that yes, there was a time when Mr. Modi was introduced using the hologram, etc., and all of that. But I don't know what the technical or the other problems that could have been what held people back from doing it this time.
But that was used in 2014. Surely it can be used in 2021 also.
Possibly. I'm not an IT expert, Sanket, so I can't just, off the cuff say whether it could or would be possible today. Possibly technically it could be possible. I don't know about the finances that are involved in such campaigns.
The point behind this question, Ms. Kumaramangalam,
so they don't involve a lot of money anyway.
Ms. Kumaramangalam, the point behind this question.
I'm not trying to find excuses for either the BJP or any. I don't belong to another party, so it would be stupid of me to say any other party. But the fact is, unfortunately, that it seems like all political parties have forgotten that, many, many doctors and many, many experts have been warning of the second wave. And generally, I don't think it's just the politicians. Most of this country seems to have been ignored.
Ms. Kumaramangalam, that's very convenient.
One moment.
It's such a convenient thing right now for all political parties and even ministers, sitting ministers, to say people are not following. Well, they're following their leaders. If leaders will in Delhi say that you follow all protocol and then will go and host these massive rallies, which will turn out to be super spreader events, in many cases without a mask, what do you expect? People are following their leader. You're setting a bad example.
If you say that it's only the political leaders whom Indians follow, then yes, all political leaders across the spectrum are equally blamed.
I'm saying lead by example.
I agree to that.
I don't think politicians are leading by example.
It's not just the leaders in Delhi who are saying it. People are saying it from all over the country. Unfortunately, yes, they have not followed those norms. That's exactly what I'm saying. So, but the blame cannot always be put only on the politicians. There are more than enough Indians who do not follow a particular politician, etc. And more than enough Indians who have enough brains to have understood that the COVID epidemic is far from over. So part in both of the these fault, cases, yes, does lie with opinion leaders, politicians, etc., etc. But part of the blame also lies with individuals who have not followed.
Part of the blame rules. Lies with everyone. I Even agree if that's to that you point. And me. But the thing is that in both these cases, you've got a leader who's head of the state, and you've got leaders who are running the country, right? So they are in positions of power. So they have to practice what they preach.
And they should have followed rules, but unfortunately, I don't know what it is. Remember in Bihar, yes, last year during the elections, we asked the same questions. And luckily for the Biharis, I have no idea what the scientific reason behind is. They seem to avoid the worst of the COVID infections. Unfortunately, the country today is paying the price for everybody's collective irresponsibility. Let me just put it that
Smita
way.
Prakash, I want to bring you in now. Where do you see the role? See, I asked this question of the health minister also, and he said, yes, this is a matter of great concern, and it's for the election commission to take this up. Where is the election commission? Halfway through the election, a really weak advisory came in from the election commission. You've got proof after proof, even on ANI cameras, where you see that there is no protocol being followed. Where is the election commission?
Yeah, you're right. Election Commission came in on April 10th, a full 2 months after rallies were drawing huge crowds in Tamil Nadu, Kerala and Puducherry, where elections are over. I mean, when elections are over in these three places, then the Election Commission comes in. So, you know, using the term unfortunate for what is happening, where political leaders are flouting COVID norms, is a very convenient thing. It's not unfortunate. This fortune has got nothing to do with this. It's not fate. It's not fortune. It is deliberate flouting of COVID rules. You and I will get fined. I don't understand. Then the term which was just used culturally and technologically. Culturally, we are not akin to hosting political rallies in smaller numbers. Who said, if Supreme Court can have their hearings in virtual manner, if you can have, you know, court hearings, you can have everything. You can have medical representation being done. Doctors are seeing their patients online. Then why can't you have political rallies like that? So what is this cultural thing? Technologically also you can do it. Anchors are doing their shoot from home. That is technology. Earlier, they used to take huge cameras. We used to have fantastic lights. Now, we have nothing. We have chota-chota lights out here, and we are doing our shoot from there, right? So, what are you talking about technologically challenged? It can aram se be done. It's just that nobody is willing to make that change.
Okay. I'll come back to you, Mr. Moitra. Sabha Naqvi, you want to come in? See, the point is, if you want, you can do it. Especially, this is the time. Not to be gimmicky, but to basically make the most of technology. At this moment, it seems that people have made this about a prestige battle. It is clearly a prestige battle between the BJP and the TMC, and they will do anything to be within the crowds or with the crowds. And that is why, forget reducing rallies, both these leaders have announced more rallies now.
So here is, if I may be a devil's advocate, let me just turn around and say, from the very beginning, I was one of those people who's been in the ground to cover the migration. I've been in Bengal. I've been among the people and also the farmers' protests, which are large gatherings. Okay? From the very beginning, do you think that the political leadership actually cares that people were packed like sardines or that people come like sardines and watch and stand there and yell and shout? Does the political class care? These are middle class concerns. The average poor person, whether he's sitting as a farmer protesting on the borders of Delhi on all three sides, whether they don't seem to, this is not a priority for them. First, let's understand that. However, I do agree that we should use more mobile technology. But you may remember that in Bihar, there was a demand for parties which said that only one section of society, there was an entire notice given to the Election Commission saying that a certain section of society, poorer people, do not have access to devices, which can be smart devices or whatever you call them. A very detailed paperwork was handed over to the Election Commission. So these are good ideas. And I agree with you. There should be a way where this election process should have been hastened up. But in all the, first was the migration. People were packed against it. Now you have a Kumbh Mela. The only people I have heard being called super spreaders was one group called the Tablighi Jamaat, right? Kumbh Mela is not being called. We can call everything. Now, right now, it is up to the national leadership.
Why do you think it is not being called a super spreader event?
They have greater security. They will walk in. The Prime Minister and the Home Minister have the greatest security in the country. Right? I mean, Didi is still there with her wheelchair or whatever. There is much more human contact. So let's face it. But basically, the political class sees people as they are being mobilized right now. Where is the question of precaution? And by the way, in Bengal, forget our middle class outrage. People look at you as if you are a corona carrier if you land up there at wearing a mask, which I continue to do so. But when you go to these densely populated mobilization sites, people are treating you as if you are a corona carrier. We're like this. And then, of course, you have to bring it down to have a conversation. You have to put it down. That's just how it is. That's what's happening in the farm protest.
Very quickly, Ms. Kumaramangalam wanted to come in on the point of the Kumbh Mela. Ms. Kumaramangalam, it is a fact, isn't it, that you had state machinery going after the Tablighi Jamaat along with a certain ecosystem. And then on the other hand, you've got a Kumbh Mela happening, another religious congregation, where deliberately so many people have been allowed in the middle of this surge. And nobody talks about it. Why? Because it is inconvenient. If this is not appeasement, what is? Ms. Kumaram.
Every Easter, we have a huge festival at a place called Velangani in Nagapattinam. In 2021, there was hardly anybody there because it was a lockdown. This year, the crowds were unimaginable and unmanageable. Again, somewhere towards the end of the election campaign. Unfortunately, and I say this with regard to the Velangani Mariamman Easter Friday gathering, but also with regard to the Kumbh, even though I know I'm going to be pilloried probably by people from the right wing, my own side. But the fact remains that unfortunately we Indians, we tend to get far too emotional about our religion, regardless. And whatever the reasons for that may be, I think that's a topic for a different day and a different discussion. The fact is that yes, there should have been. I said it about the Thiruvayaru Ther, again, where lakhs of devotees pulled that huge, massive rath like in the Jagannath rath. I had actually made a comment saying that I wish the organizers of the Ther, which is not the government actually, had asked for at least, if not distancing, double masking at the very least for everybody who was part of that procession.
Okay.
And you don't know how much I was cursed by everybody, including being told what sins I'm
that's the problem. And when government's given, so
this
Kumaramangalam, see, your personal view is great.
We can't go,
it is a pragmatic view. It should be the view.
From religion.
But when government's given to this popular view, no?
Any religion in India.
When government's given to this popular view, that is the problem. Unfortunately, in Haridwar, the government gave in. Unfortunately,
in
these poll-bound states, all governments have given.
All the Rath Yatras have. Don't forget that all the Hindu, all the major Hindu temples come under HREB.
Yes.
So it's not just one state or one religion.
It's everywhere.
This is unfortunately,
there is appeasement, religious appeasement everywhere. Dr. Thakur, I want to come to you now.
Now you are playing politics. I mean, it's just not one religion or one thing. All of us.
I'm not saying nobody is playing politics.
That's why I said
everybody is doing this because it is convenient. I'm just saying that at the time of Tablighi Jamaat, there was an entire ecosystem. Including government.
They were
government agencies. Government
the
agencies went after certain people.
I'm not again
people.
Trying to say that because
all of those cases have flopped.
One of the biggest reasons is that nobody really took what the medical and the medical doctors
correct,
and
the only difference here is that the Kumbh Mela is state sponsored.
Be careful, wear your mask, congregate, etc.
Dr.
Hemant.
Dr. Hemant, I want to come to you now very quickly.
Intellectuals actually follow all these rules.
My apologies to Dr. Hemant for having waited so long.
You want to be honest about everybody.
Ms. Kumaramangalam, I'm going to come back to you. Dr. Hemant, my apologies for making you wait so long. I want to understand, if we do not control this, if we are divorced or we live in an alternate reality where election rallies go business as usual, and in the hospitals also there will be a rally of people with diseases. How far can this get? How worse can this get in terms of peak?
So, Sanket, I think I'm a misfit in this panel because I'm only a doctor. I only know my coronavirus.
Absolutely.
And I know my coronavirus treats politicians, sportsmen, film stars, journalists, patients equally, and does not distinguish whether you're a cricketer, you're a BJP, you're a TMC, or whether you're a news anchor. And this coronavirus loves to flock in clouds. And in all these crowds, it's easy for my virus to jump from place to place. I'm at the other end, where I'm at the receiving end. After the virus has jumped and infected people, that's when they come to us. And unfortunately, I have no end to my end just now, because I'm facing a bed crunch, medicine crunch, oxygen crunch, and I have all sorts of people, from cricketers to politicians to common men to industrialists to penthouse to garages, everybody is coming to us now. Unfortunately, the virus has followed the norm of transmission. What norms we haven't followed or who hasn't followed is not for me to enforce, because I'm too busy, my hands are tied. I'm treating patients, I'm advising patients, I'm admitting patients. So I think we are in the worst tidal wave, which is three times the size of 2020. I don't know whether 2021 will be even worse than 2020, but this April is not for fools, it's for real. That's all I can say, and I'd like to sign out of this debate, because there's nothing more I can add in the form of medical.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much, Dr. Hemant. I'm going to stop for a short break at this moment, and we'll continue this discussion with the rest of our panelists. Do stay with us. All right. So there is a vaccine shortage also. And as we promised, we're going to get you a reality check as well on the vaccine shortage. But first, let's begin with the story of the day. The top story is that, and it's good news, that the subject experts committee of this country has recommended Sputnik V, the vaccine against the coronavirus disease, which is COVID-19, developed by Russia, for emergency use in India. The final call on the matter will be taken by the DGCI, which is the approval body. Hopefully that will come. It's just a formality. And now we'll have the third vaccine after Covishield and Covaxin. What does this mean? Here's an explainer on what each of these vaccines can do. Here's my colleague Sonal with all the latest.
So India is gearing up for a new vaccine, the Russian-made Sputnik V, which means that India soon will have not two, but three vaccines, which at a time when the country desperately needs more and more is definitely good news for all. So let's take a look at how Sputnik V is different from the other two vaccines presently available in the country. Is it better? And importantly, does it work against the new double mutation? Let's begin by looking at the technology. Sputnik V is an adenoviral-based vaccine. It uses a weakened virus and stimulates an immune response. This is similar to what Oxford AstraZeneca jab Covishield does as well, which uses the virus that causes chimpanzees to get the common cold. While the Bharat Biotech Covaxin is different. It is an inactivated vaccine, meaning it is a chemically killed virus which once infected and injected in your body will then mimic the strain and develop an antibody against COVID-19. Let's look at how the doses are now. While all three are two-dose vaccines, Sputnik, unlike the others, actually uses two different versions of formulas for both its jabs, given 21 days apart. The idea is that using two different formulas boosts the immune system even more, unlike the same being used twice, which is the case for, say, Covishield and Covaxin. Sputnik claims that this gives longer lasting protection, and the two different formulas is not just proved effective, it is also something that makes it safe with no serious reactions. It is also what gives Sputnik V around 92% efficacy. And it has also been deemed to be safe and offer complete protection against hospitalization and death. Now, this is where Sputnik really scores against the other two vaccines. While AstraZeneca and Covishield have the efficacy of roughly about 70%, Bharat Biotech Covaxin, though not peer-reviewed, claims to have 80%. Storage, not an issue with all three vaccines, as all three can be stored at refrigerator levels, making it conducive for India. However, Sputnik V scores in this as well, as it is freeze-dried vaccine. meaning it comes in a powder form. It improves the stability along with the storage and shelf life of the vaccine. Now, let's talk about the most pressing bits. Does it work against the new variants? Now, while all vaccines claim to work against the strain, but don't really have any data or study backing these claims, Sputnik V, by its own admission, says that it is less effective against the South African variant, but compared to all the vaccines in the world, it is the best at neutralizing the UK strain. Now, Covishield claims it reduces the rate of hospitalization in the UK strain. But remember, South Africa had sent back 1 million AstraZeneca jabs to India, saying it does not work against their strain. While in the case of Covaxin, the ICMR gave a statement saying that it works against the UK variant. So with all this, it really comes down to how soon can we have the vaccine in India and what about its manufacturing capabilities. Now, good news here is that Sputnik has already partnered with several Indian manufacturers and it is going to produce and supply a minimum of 200 million doses. But the not so good news here is that at least so far they say they will be ready by only the fourth quarter of this year. Let's leave it there for the moment. Sonal Mehrotra Kapoor, NDTV.
All right, and let's quickly take a look at a reality check. This is a vaccine which will take its time coming. It will be manufactured. It's not easy to make vaccines. You know, production is not easy. And that's why, to some extent, we are struggling as well. But to what extent? What is the reality on the ground? We are asked this question of all our NDTV colleagues across the country, and we'll see their reports in just a short moment. Monidipa files her report from Kolkata. Uma files it from Hyderabad. Ratnadeep from Guwahati. Sukirti is going to join us in just a short moment from Delhi. Harsha Kumari Singh from Jaipur and Nasir Masoodi from Srinagar. What exactly is the situation as far as vaccine shortage is concerned? Nationwide status check right here on NDTV. I would like to introduce Sukirti now first. Sukirti, by when are we expecting the Sputnik doses to be rolled out and how many doses will be available? I think that's the most important question before we
the
get into
the expert panel
vaccines.
Of the Indian Drug Regulator today has recommended an approval for Sputnik V. Now, this could become India's third vaccine after Covaxin and Covishield, and the development is significant because of how high its efficacy is at 91.6%, only after Pfizer and Moderna. Now, if we are looking at the timelines for the rollout of Sputnik V in India, then it could take anywhere between 2 to 3 months for us to see for the first rollout. There is no official word, though, about the timelines, but that is what things look like at this point of time. There are certain procedural issues with this entire process. One is that the manufacture of Sputnik V in India has not yet started. Sputnik V, of course, has tied up, or RDIF has tied up with Dr. Reddy's laboratories in India for supplying at least 250 million doses over the course of the next 12 months. But in the beginning in India, in the next 2 to 3 months, we might see that India might first import stocks of Sputnik V from Russia, and then we may start seeing our own indigenously manufactured vaccines being rolled out in the country. So the manufacturing process, there are permissions that have to be given for it, and that is what could lead to delay in the process. There are, of course, 4 to 5 other pharmaceutical companies as well with which RDIF has tied up, but none of these companies have manufacturing permission at this point of time. So those processes will take a certain amount of time.
Sukirti, but what are you hearing from the government on the availability of vaccines all over the country? And how is the government planning to overcome this challenge of supply side problems?
As far as the vaccine shortage in India is concerned, there were at least 11 states that had flagged vaccine shortage issue to the central government. Central government continues to deny that there is any vaccine shortage. They've been saying that it is efforts at misinformation or it is politicization by opposition parties. But what is happening on ground is that in certain areas, at least especially in Maharashtra and Mumbai, there were at least 70 vaccination centers that had remained shut over the weekend. At least 60 of those resumed today because the supplies have been replenished. So that is what is happening at least in the bigger states. But of course, in certain other smaller states like Odisha, for example, 900 vaccination centers continue to be shut because supplies have not been restored. So while center is making certain phases, efforts in gradual phases to replenish the supplies on ground. There are many other states that are still struggling, and the Union Health Ministry is yet to come out with a clear word on what is the vaccine availability status at this point of time.
That's really the problem, because there is absolutely no clarity on the numbers, on the day-to-day, daily numbers, when this is going to get better. And it seems that now, post the Prime Minister saying that now we should concentrate more on testing, it also appears to be an effort being made by the government that we talk less about vaccines and talk more about other things, whereas that really cannot be the case. Vaccines should be top of the mind focus right here for everyone, including the government. Okay, let's shift focus to Rajasthan, where my colleague Harsha Kumari Singh now joins us. Harsha, we remember that Rajasthan, we clearly remember your report. Rajasthan was among the first few states who had highlighted this problem to the center, that we are running out of doses. This was, a couple of days, many days ago, actually, I remember. What is the situation right now?
Well, absolutely. And after that report, in fact, they moved about 14 lakh plus vaccines to Rajasthan. But you see, now they have stepped up the pace of vaccination and the supply is just not keeping up. So Rajasthan did, in fact, today it crossed more than 1 crore. It's done more than 1 crore of its population so far. So after Maharashtra, that's number two, it's vaccinating on an average about 5 lakh people per day. And, the vaccine supply really, last evening they received 4 lakh vaccines plus, which have actually will run out by tomorrow. In fact, mid-afternoon tomorrow it will run out. So they have again, the Chief Minister has written to the Prime Minister, said that, keep the vaccination going, because if you're going to celebrate Tika Utsav, as the central government wants everybody to celebrate, if you're going to do Tika Utsav, then we must have the Tikas, right? And it's okay to send the vaccinations, but from here to, say, move to Jaisalmer, which is more than 500 kilometers away, it does take some time. So the problem really is in getting these vaccines out to smaller places. That's where the shortages are happening, though, of course, in Jaipur, as of today, vaccinations went off quite well. In fact, across Rajasthan, they didn't have to shut down any centers. But then let's see what happens tomorrow.
Yes, I think that's very, very significant, because right now what is happening is that each state has a capacity. They want to ramp up their capacity. But is the production of the vaccine or the supply of the vaccine matching that pace? And that seems to be the big problem in state after state. Before we go to Uma Sudhir now joins us from Hyderabad. Before we go to her, let's quickly put that point that Harsha made in her presentation. The Prime Minister said Tika Utsav, celebrate vaccination, vaccinate more. But what happened on day one of the Tika Utsav? Quite the opposite. In fact, on Tika Utsav day one, we as a country vaccinated less than what we achieved in the past, only 29 lakhs. This figure was higher on 10th of April, even higher on 9th of April, much higher on the 8th of April. But on the first day of Tika Utsav, it's down to 29 lakhs. Why is this? Is this because of the lack of vaccines or generally because of the manner in which things are? Let's get in a report from Hyderabad. Uma Sudhir now joins us. Uma, can you just give us a summary of Hyderabad, of Telangana, the state, Andhra Pradesh, because these were the two states accused of having wasted the maximum amount of vaccines.
To the credit of Telangana, Sanket, in fact, they have put out figures very, very clearly, and not using their own figures, but the figures available with the central government in the COVID software, in the EVIN software, and saying that their wastage has, in fact, not as pointed out 17%, but about 1 to 2%. They have been steadily showing us the figures about how much they have received, how much has been used, and this is all figures that have to be collated with the central government. Second, coming to the question of shortages, yes, Andhra Pradesh Chief Minister Jagan Mohan Reddy had asked, in fact, the central government to supply them with 25 lakh doses of vaccine. We had reported that Nellore, West Godavari, several centres had in fact closed down because there were no vaccines. And after the video conference, he had written to the central government asking for those vaccines. And yet, you know, first day of vaccination, he had said we are going to do 8 lakh during this Tika Utsav. But that's not what happened. 56,000 is the day numbers that they did on day one. And just about less than 6,000 is what we understand happened on the second day, because vaccines were actually not available. But yes, they, when I contacted the health department, they did tell us that they're going to be getting 4.4 lakh doses of vaccine. Ironically, 2.4 lakh from Pune and 2 lakh from Bombay, from where also we have been, in fact, reporting shortages, I guess. On the other hand, in Telangana, again, Telangana's Chief Secretary Somesh Kumar wrote saying that we have run out of vaccines completely, and we are, going to be having only 2 days of vaccines or 3 days of vaccines. He said that on Saturday, and they had big plans for Tika Utsav once again. In fact, Ugadi falls tomorrow, and they said even on Ugadi Day we'll be working because we want vaccination as a priority. They said we will have 100% of our frontline workers also getting vaccinated. But yes, once again, they were very, very short of vaccines, and that's one reason why they asked for an emergency tranche. And just now I've got a message from the health secretary saying that they have received their 4.62 lakh and therefore they should be doing good. But yes, we had reported last week that less than 50% of the frontline workers have been vaccinated. The chief minister reacted and said that in this week, in one drive, we are going to finish 100% vaccination among frontline workers. But this is what we found at a center right in the heart of Hyderabad.
Rush of GHMC sanitary workers at a government school in Mushirabad that has been converted into an exclusive vaccination center for frontline workers.
NDTV had reported last week that less than 50% of the frontline workers have got vaccinated. Subsequently, the chief minister had said that within a week, 100% of the frontline workers must be vaccinated. But you can see the mad rush that is happening here. This is inside the vaccination room that we are talking about, and a huge number of people here waiting here. And if actually Nagraj fans outside, you will see there are more people here as well, rushing at the door, waiting that their turn should come in for the vaccination itself. No social distancing at all. Yes, they are wearing a mask, but some of them are not either. And I will also show you that the vaccine stock has actually run out. The sister here tells us that she had come with about 130 doses of the vaccine, and she is left with hardly about 20-25 doses now. And how is she going to vaccinate all these people? That's going to be a big challenge.
The vaccination center itself has become a COVID risk with the crowding. Many anxious sanitary workers had to return disappointed. The Telangana government had on Saturday said they are running out of vaccine and asked for 30 lakh doses. The center has promised to deliver 3.62 lakh doses on Monday.
It's Ugadi festival, but still there is going to be a huge rush. The vaccinators, the nurses, all of them are going to continue with the vaccination drive, because a more important Tika festival is on in the country. A drive in order to vaccinate the maximum numbers, but the problem has become the short supply of the vaccine itself.
In Hyderabad, with camera person Nagraju, Uma Sudhir, NDTV.
So in a state that will see 8 phases of polls, 4 of which are already done, 4 more left, where there has been a surge of 378% in the COVID cases in the past 14 days. Obviously, politicians are very busy in the election process. But Monidipa Banerjee took a break from this election campaigning and decided to visit some of these COVID centers, hospitals. What is the situation in the poll-bound West Bengal, in the hospitals in West Bengal? Monidipa Banerjee with this reality check.
The West Bengal government has said that there is a vaccine shortage and 4 lakh vaccines are expected today. But some hospitals, this one, Amri, in Salt Lake, which is in North 24 Parganas district, has run out. In fact, it has run out since the 10th of April, and even today, so far we know, they haven't got fresh stocks just yet. This is the condition in this hospital in North 24 Parganas district. Also, the same hospital's branch in South 24 Parganas district at Mukundapur has the same problem. So you had come to the hospital, why?
For taking vaccine.
And what happened?
They said that no vaccine has come, so they are not able to provide.
So have you come for first dose or second dose?
First dose.
First dose?
Yes.
How old are you, sir?
I am 74. When I came to know that vaccines are available here, I came here and today my luck.
No vaccine available. Sir, आपको क्या हुआ? आप आए थे वैक्सीन लेने के लिए?
हमको वैक्सीन का बुकिंग था 12 तारीख आज यहाँ पर.
फर्स्ट डोज या सेकेंड?
हाँ, फर्स्ट डोज.
अच्छा, फिर?
वो अभी वही बोलते गवर्नमेंट से वैक्सीन आया नहीं आज.
तो क्या होगा?
क्या होगा, हम खड़ा है, बोलते नहीं आया, आज होगा नहीं.
बहुत सारे राज्यों से बोल रहे हैं एक क्राइसिस हो रहा है, तो इस आपको क्या लगता है सरकार को क्या करना चाहिए?
वैक्सीन तो अवेलेबल करनी चाहिए, और क्या, सबको लेना चाहिए.
आई नो, सो सबको लेना चाहिए वैक्सीन, ही सेज, बट देयर इज नन ओवर हियर. अ प्रेडिकमेंट दैट मेनी पीपल लाइक दीज टू जेंटलमैन आई हैव मेट एट दिस हॉस्पिटल आर फेसिंग. With Anurag Tripathi, Manavita Banerjee, NDTV.
So another state where elections took place, all the three phases are complete, and Assam has vaccine stocks till the 16th of April. Ratnadeep gets us this reality check on the vaccines from his state.
Apart from ramped up COVID testing, after the COVID surge in Assam, after the elections got over, now there is a focus on the vaccinations as well. We are at the vaccination center at the Guwahati Medical College Hospital. However, in most of the vaccination centers in Assam, there is hardly any rush. In fact, what we have picked up from the sources in the health department of Assam is that the state till now has vaccinated over 15 lakh people. This includes the health workers and the frontliners, as well as the state still has a storage or a reserve stock of 1,90,000 vaccines that would last for another 2-3 days, and the state is going to get a major consignment of vaccine on 16th of April. So the authorities are saying that at this moment there's not much crisis in terms of the vaccine, but if the vaccines don't come in time, there might be a situation where there might be crisis. This is the vaccination room. The the vaccinators are preparing for the next stage of vaccination. On the other room, you can see people who have been vaccinated are being kept. They are monitored. So clearly now the focus perhaps for Assam at this point of time would be to make sure that the Bihu festival passes off without much surge.
And let's now also talk about Jammu and Kashmir. We also get you a reality check of vaccines and whether there is a vaccine shortage there or not. Nazir Masoodidi, he filed this report.
I am outside a vaccination center in Srinagar. According to officials, all the 1300 vaccination centers are functional. They have stocks for what they say for another 3 days. 150,000 doses. They say on an average they administer 50,000 doses in Jammu and Kashmir. And they have sent a requisition for another 30 lakh doses. If they arrive in time, then there would be no problem. If there is some delay, which means there would be a problem. And here in this center, not many people are here. And also Dr. Navin Mali, who is head of department here, just as this hospital and leading person who is on the forefront in fight against COVID. Maybe tell us what is the situation about this condition of vaccine? Are you enough supplies?
Yes, right now we are having enough supplies. We have a vaccination center here which is running almost for all of the week except for one day. And we are getting here, off-late we are getting a good response. Initially there was a lot of hesitation in the patients regarding vaccination. There were so many myths which were circulating in the social media. Now since there has been a major upsurge in the number of cases, and we have tried our best through every medium to communicate to the people about the safety and the effectiveness of the vaccine. So now people are coming, as of now we are having enough supplies.
So what about the bad position in your hospital? Yes, because this is the biggest COVID center.
Yes, of late we are seeing that the number of patients, you are seeing that the number of patients taken falls to per day. For the whole UT is around 900 to 1,000. And of this, we are seeing that there is a surge in the number of patients who are symptomatic. So we are right now running almost full capacity in the designated our hospital. Whatever beds are available with us have been occupied.
All right, with that, we come to the end of this broadcast. But news continues on the other side. Stay with us.